are, and I just want to say that 2 minutes ago, into the studio burst this energy,
this
the sweetness and energy. And for those of you who don't know the behind the scenes here at WGN, a little over 3 years ago, Jimmy DeCastro was brought in to see what he could do to fix this station and to bring back some people. And we had breakfast with Jimmy one day and thought, well, we're not. Oh, we don't know. And he was so full of energy and so full. We could do this. This would be great. We'd love it. So we said, yeah, okay. And so we came back thanks to Jimmy DeCastro. So many other people are back here because of Jimmy DeCastro. The mood around the station, the ambiance is happy and excited and
willing and euphoric. And
he's remarkable.
He's like a Tinkerbell were a guy.
It would be Jimmy DeCastro.
He's like Tinkerbell without those wings.
That's
very
right.
Well dressed.
Yeah,
much
clap if
dressed.
You want Jimmy DeCastro to stay here.
He's the Energizer Bunny in a sport coat.
There yeah. You go.
He
there
is.
You go.
He's all
and,
of that.
And Jimmy has decided he did what he wanted to do. This is how he operates. He, you know, takes on projects. He's done what he wants to do. And he's
going on.
Yeah, he's moving on to the next thing. He's going to change something else. And so we just want to say, we never figured we would come back here. We never figured after May 22nd, 2009.
That I love that you remember that
we'd
day.
Walk
I don't
in,
have it in my
don't
brain
you?
At all,
yeah.
No.
That we would walk through these doors again as people who work for WGN. And so it's all about Jimmy DeCastro. So thank you. What do people call him? Bishop? Deacon?
It's a Deacon.
Deacon.
Yeah, Deacon.
Thank you, JD, for this extra time that you gave us. We've loved it, and we love you. So thanks. Anyway, so speaking of loving things, I am so struck over the last couple of weeks by the number of people who are posting on Facebook and Twitter and elsewhere, invoking the memory of people who loved the Cubs and who
no
lived for the Cubs. Some of you have those stories and of people who are no longer here. Oh, I wish my grandpa were here. Or, oh, my dad, he loved the Cubs. And I hear these wonderful stories from people about there was a great. So give us a call if you've got somebody in your heart and on your mind and you're constantly thinking, oh, I wish Uncle Frank were here. I wish my mom or my grandma was still alive. 312-981-7200. We'd love to hear your quick little stories about those people.
And somebody was telling me that it wasn't easy to get a hold of a Cubs flag, but they got a little Cubs flag, you know, mm-hmm. for the pennant and winning everything. And they were taking it out to the cemetery.
Oh, and I'll bet there's a lot of them.
I think so.
Exactly.
I know.
Yeah. I heard somebody, I can't remember who it was, talking to a guy who was obviously in his 90s, who had been at the game in 45. And I think, what game, was there something in the 30s or something? Anyway, he remembered players and plays from these games. And so we just want to offer you this chance. We do this on Memorial Day to honor veterans in your family. And we'd just love to do it today. If you can just tell us just a little bit about the people that you wish were here today, sitting watching the TV with you and watching the Cubs in this World Series. Hey, Eric.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Good. Who are you especially missing?
Well, I've got my mother and my aunt. We're both in their 90s. My aunt was 90. My mom was 93 and a half. I lost my aunt to a fall about 2 months ago. And about 2 weeks ago, my mother passed on. She had lost her best friend.
And oh, my.
It was, you know, at 93 and a half, it went real quick, and it was a blessing that it did.
Eric, did your mom die before or after the Cubs won the pennant?
Before the pennant.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Was she excited about the possibility?
Oh, she was thrilled. She caught every game. My aunt caught every game. They were best friends, and we knew when my aunt was gone that my mother wasn't going to be long after. She caught my niece's wedding about 3 weeks ago, and then week and a half later, she had some heart troubles and was gone in about 5 hours.
Oh, man. And Eric, tell us their names.
We should all be as lucky.
Tell us their names.
Aunt Ellen and my mother is Dorothy.
Okay, I have a quick question. It's about belief.
Sure.
And that is, if you're a person who believes in heaven, do you feel that there are you?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so are they watching from above?
I know they are. You bet.
Okay.
They've both visited me, too, in my dreams and in ways I don't want to explain right now. But we know they're both out there rooting for the Cubs, and hopefully my dad and my stepfather are up there as well. They're all sitting around together watching the big TV screen up in the sky. So,
oh, bless your heart. All right, Eric, sorry about losing
your
mom, but glad you're thinking of her smiling down. Thank you.
Every day. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
We're talking to you at 312-981-7200 about the people who you've lost but who you're thinking of constantly during this World Series about how happy they would be to see what's going on. This is Kathy. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Who's your person?
Yes. My dad.
And what was his name?
His name was Pat.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a huge Cubs fan. I have four brothers, and he taught us baseball by watching the Cubs. He learned baseball when he came here from Ireland when he was 14. They didn't really have baseball there. And he watched Cub games when he would come home from school because they were always on in the afternoon. And he died 12 years ago, and he would just be beside himself. But I remember he used to tell me that Wrigley Field was a magical place, that when you walked into that field, you could hear everything. It was like it was just meant for you. He said that when you go to Wrigley, the colors are brighter and the food tastes better. And honest to goodness, I walk into that place, and I feel
you
that.
You feel that. Exactly.
I just know that he would be so excited. When this all started, I was just pulling into the cemetery to see him.
Oh, did you bring a Cubs flag?
I don't have one yet. We're waiting until they win it. But
okay.
I've been here almost every day of every game.
All right, well, go tell him what's going on.
I will. He's got to do more tonight.
If he's powerful, he has to, put on some pressure.
Thank you, Kath.
Thank you.
Okay, and speaking of cemeteries, that's where you're headed today, right, Jane?
That's right. And, I actually went out yesterday and got banners.
And who's getting it on their grave?
It's my mom, who passed away 34 years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
She was a diehard Cubs fan and wished her ashes to be spread in Wrigley Field, which I wish I would have thought about it earlier this season and had them exhumed so I could take them out there. But we're actually going today. And
well, that's
have you been yet to the cemetery since this is
not,
all gone on?
So
because I just wonder if someone has and they could report how many banners or flags or whatever people like you have put on
graves.
Population.
Yeah, what exactly.
Percentage of the population?
I will certainly check that out and let you know next week.
That'd be great. Well, actually, we have some bad news about next week.
Oh, what's that?
It's sports related.
What the to be announced?
Play. Yeah, the to be announced time for the Northwestern game was changed to the morning. So
you won't be on. But that's
wait. Did you think we were fired?
Oh, right.
Did that go into your mind?
Well, it
first?
Occurred to us. Jane, what was your mom's name?
It was Margaret Ann.
Okay, Margaret Ann, go Cubs.
Yep.
All right.
Thank you,
Jane.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
This from Area 630. My 32-year-old niece, who was a diehard Cub fan, lost her battle with cancer in June. She went to numerous games, went to the series last year in St. Louis where they lost the pennant, thinking of how much she would have loved to be cheering her Cubs on in this race. Her husband's a Sox fan, but is keeping the tradition, raising their 6-year-old as a Cubs fan.
That's nice and important.
Closed his eyes and slipped away. Well, Scotty, it was the dying Cub fans' last request, so here it is. Do they still play the blues in Chicago?
It's come up a lot in the last week or so, and we're just talking to our girlfriends about the person they loved who was a huge Cubs fan and who they're thinking about in this wonderful series. Hey, Bobby, who are you thinking about?
I'm thinking about Doris.
And who was Doris?
Doris was my mom. She passed away in 2009, lifelong Cub fan. Her father, my grandfather, used to take us to the games all the time, the ladies' days, everything. And And when she knew she wasn't going to be here too much longer. And she said to me, she said, what am I going to do if the Cubs win the World Series?
Well, that's still to be answered because they haven't won yet.
There you go.
Response to her, my response was, I don't think we're going to have to worry about it in my lifetime. And here we are. So.
There you go. Thanks.
Was she one, real quick, I want to know, was she one of those people that would walk out of a room because she was too powerful and she was going to make them lose the game? You know how people are, they have to wear a certain shirt.
Right. And she wasn't too superstitious like that. But she'd watch them whether they were losing or winning or it didn't matter. She always watched the games. So I really missed
her. There you go, Doris. All right. Thanks, yeah. Bobby.
Thanks. And thanks for being on. I appreciate it.
Oh, we do too. Thanks. And this is Velma. Hey, Velma, this is the last words of who?
My mother, Charlene. Since I was a kid, we used to go to the baseball games, ride the L down together. I was like 6 years old. And as an adult, my mom would call me every Cubs game and sing Go Cubs Go. My mother passed last October, and her last words, and I taped it, she was watching the Cubs game, and I taped it, and she's saying, go, Cubs, go.
Oh, my God.
That was her last word.
Oh, my
God. I'm not kidding you.
How soon after she said, go, Cubs, go, was she gone?
About 2 hours.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Really quiet.
Have you replayed it this week a lot?
Oh, yeah. My niece had her 30th birthday, and so I sent her I have it on a messenger. And that's what my niece wanted to hear on her birthday from my mom.
That's
lovely. My mom was huge.
That's lovely. Velma, thanks.
Me too.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Okay, we've got them lined up. This is Nancy. Hi, Nancy. Who are you thinking of this week?
I'm thinking of my dad, Larry. I'm one of 8 girls, no brothers. My dad owned a gas station. I remember back in the 70s, we're all in our 50s and 60s now, but he always had the game on on the radio on Sundays, on the afternoon. It was always I don't know that he ever professed he was a fan, but he loved the baseball game and he loved the Cubs. My sisters, most of them are still avid fans. They live mostly in Florida. But I was telling Beth that my dad passed away about 12 years ago, watching the Cubs on Memorial Day in Florida, suddenly.
You mean he died in the middle of a game?
I think the game was over.
Uh-huh. But he still had his hat on.
Yep.
Oh, that's great.
He was done. So my sister, my son, they're all going to the games and being part of it, and it's really heartwarming. So,
and thinking of your dad. Yeah.
Letting us share this. This is great.
Thank you, Nancy.
All right. You have a good day. Thanks.
Bye-bye. This is Janine. Janine, who are you thinking of during this season?
My dad.
What's his name?
Ed Liptak.
Okay.
He passed away 14 years ago, and he's probably, you know, up there with those great Cubs fans. But story I have, my dad was an avid forever Cubs fan, but he liked a bird, the Cardinal, a red Cardinal, never a Cardinal fan. And after he passed, we would see Cardinals here, there, and the other place, and we always thought, well, there's Dad. He's saying hi to us. Last Sunday, I stopped at his grave, and I put a note in his grave, and I said, Dad, 4 more to go, and I tucked the note in by his headstone. Monday morning, I teach school, and there's a huge, beautiful tree outside my window. My students went, look, and in the tree was this huge red Cardinal.
I love these stories.
So my dad, he's rooting. I mean, it was just... It was awesome.
Oh, that's very sweet.
My whole family cried.
Very sweet.
Like you're kind of doing now.
Yeah.
Yeah, his later years, the only place he was happy was at Wrigley Field. And when I go, I heard the lady say before, there's just a magical place there.
Right. So, especially with your dad in mind. Thank you, Janine. Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Hey, Katie, who are you thinking of?
Hi. I'm actually thinking of my Uncle Rick and my grandma and my mom.
All big Cubs fans.
All big Cubs fans. My grandma went to her first game when she was about 10 or 12 years old, and she was born in 1920, and all of her siblings were older, so they took her to Wrigley for her first game.
And what was your grandmother's name and your mom's name?
My grandma's name was Vivian, and my mom's name was Sue.
Okay, great. Thanks for sharing that, Katie.
Thank you.
Go Cubs, go. Hope that's not my last words. autumn leaves. Well,
I am struck by the fact that the more I age, the less in touch with what nice-looking clothes are, cool-looking clothes. I dress very casually. I mean, I'm in jeans about 8 days a week. And so I don't mean, you know, like I'm the kind of clothes, like if you're trying to look like Gloria Steinem or something. You know, a tasteful outfit I know how to put together.
How does Gloria Steinem look?
Oh, she kind of wears gray cashmere boat necks.
Okay,
and then
okay.
She'll have a belt because she still has a waist.
I remember a waist.
Her neck shows. You don't see her like swathed in scarves like so many of us try and do.
Yes.
But one of the big quandaries, I'd love to have somebody in their 30s or 40s or like I asked Chris, call us at 312-981-7200. But what your fall fashion quandaries are, here's my big one. These short boots. These short boots are back. And do you wear them with tights with feet? Leggings with feet? Or do you wear them? Somebody in a store told me I can wear them and let my skin show, which I think looks really weird. And then I found out last night that my husband doesn't like short boots. I don't know if men don't like short boots or what. I mean, the tall boots.
I doubt many of them have opinions on it.
Have you met my husband?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, okay.
That's Tommy.
Okay.
So what kind of questions do you have? I asked Kristen this morning, okay, I'm wearing flats and I'm wearing ankle-length Gap jeans right now. And I know the Gap jeans make me look like I'm old. But I really like them. They fit well. They're comfortable.
Who's making that judgment?
Who's who?
Who's making that judgment that Gap jeans make you look old? Who do you think?
Because the pockets on the Gap jeans sometimes come down lower than where your butt ends.
Oh my god.
And that's those are considered jeans.
You're a mom.
I know, but I don't want my jeans to broadcast it. My face broadcasts it enough. And I just wondered, does anybody feel that they're in touch with what not is current because we're too old to be current, but look like we kind of have a grasp at this. I feel like when I walk around my community that I look like a lady in a house dress or something. Even though I'm trying, I don't keep my eyes on the right thing. You have none of this, Kathy?
And I should.
Okay, hand gestures
I'm the one who should.
On
you dress so much cuter than I dress. And I look at my closet and I think, okay, which black turtleneck shall I wear today? Which pair of black pants shall I wear today? I generally wear jeans when I'm working in the yard. I don't generally wear jeans out that much because I just don't. So I have never agonized. We've had this conversation. I don't agonize about fashion. Some days I look at myself and go, you look like hell.
Well,
and other days I go, looking pretty good.
I look like I don't agonize, but please call us at 312-981-7200 if there's quandaries you have about fashion or if you know the answers to what to do with short boots.
See, and I think at this time,
or if you're a man and doesn't like short boots.
Yeah. In 2016, I think there are a lot of options that sort of transcend the age issue. I think the tunics and tights, I think you can get away with tunics and tights if you're 25 or if you're 65 or 75. I think you can. Your quandary is whether and what kind of boots to wear with them.
I bought a tunic this
okay.
week. And can I tell you, it makes me look fat. There's so much material on these
Well, they're
tunics.
Loose. I mean, some they're tunics loose. Have a lot of material and some of them are a little bit, you know, snugger. All right, here's Victoria has some advice for you on mom jeans. Hey, Victoria.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, okay. Thank you.
I'm listening to this and I'm laughing because of the fact that I have a 23-year-old son and a 22-year-old son, and one is very fashion conscious. And I don't know how many times I have walked out the door where he is saying,
You're not going to wear that, are you? Why? What do you mean? Why? What's wrong with what I have on?
And what does he say to you?
He says, no, Mom, you can't wear those jeans. And I said, why? He said, first of all, you don't have much of a butt. Mm-hmm. So those jeans are sagging in the back, and that doesn't look good. You need to find jeans that are a little more form-fitting and aren't so wide in, you know, this, this, and this. And so I go, okay, Max, let's go to the store. So we'll go to TJ Maxx or Marshall's or whatever, and he's throwing stuff in my cart. And I have to say, he's been dead right every single time.
Really?
He'll stand outside the dressing room. He goes, come on out, let me see what you look like. He goes, oh, no, not those.
You're so lucky to have a fashion consultant in your home.
Yeah, but it's good, and but then it's bad in some ways because, you know, he'll go through my closet, and he'll say, do you see anybody wearing this? And I'll say, yeah. And I go, Max, I'm 61. I'm not 25. He goes, regardless, when you get older, you need to have brighter things. He said, I'm not talking shocking pink or, you know, lime yellow or whatever. You need to dress up.
Is he a fashion designer? What's his credentials?
He's a baseball player, but, you know, he's always...
For whom?
The girls have always liked him because they take him shopping, and they will sit out in the waiting room, and he'll sit out in the waiting room.
Is he in the minor leagues? Is he in the major leagues?
No, he's been playing baseball for New Mexico, Highlands New Mexico University. It's last year.
Uh-huh.
And he's been a baseball kid. You know, he's been playing for all kinds of teams since he was 9. But he's been very in tune with women. And, yes, he's straight. And he,
oh, I'm so glad you saved me from asking.
And he just really knows, and he's a clothes hound to begin with, which I was at that age. Purses, you know, dresses, you know, the whole 9 yards.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, girls will come out of the dressing room and they'll have a top on. He'll say, you can't wear that. And I've had to make sure to, because he's very outspoken like I am, that you never say that you're fat. You say, it doesn't look right. Let's find something else. Well, what if they say, why? Well, you can be delicate about it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that top's too small because it's pushing. If the jeans are pushing your rolls up, which you really don't have rolls, but it's making you look like you have rolls.
Very tactful.
You need to wear something a little bit bigger. Let me go get a size 8 for you. I'm like, oh, my God, Max. So he does this to me, and he'll say, now, that looks great. And the necklace is long, and the hoop earrings, that looks good, and this, this, and this. So I've been there with the jeans, and, you know, I'll say, but
it's
like
a heartbreak. Well, I wish I had Max shopping with me. That would make me feel safer.
But it's very frustrating when you like something and you think it looks good and someone else says, you know, because sometimes girlfriends won't always tell you the truth either. So sometimes a man will give you more of an honest opinion than a woman. And to have him there and say, no.
Okay, Victoria, thank you. And I think you're very lucky.
And I'm just grateful that I don't have that chip in my DNA. It seems like I've saved myself a lot of agony. And I don't know. I think more people are like you than are like me.
I think so, too.
Right. Remember when we were talking about coats one year? You were agonizing about coats. I think it's on one of the CDs. And you were talking about, well, I don't have a coat for this or I don't have a coat for that.
Oh, I never have the right coat for travel.
Right. But you said, you know, Kathy's got this coat. And Steve says the difference is she doesn't care.
That's right. We're talking about
that? What's the song?
Fashion.
Oh, fashion. Okay.
Fashion. And of course, I don't know what's fashionable anymore, but I initially launched the conversation with my quandaries over short boots. And this
is Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning, Chris.
This is my favorite thing of all time.
What, fashion?
Just, yes, I have tons of short boots and higher boots, and my sisters laugh at me all the time because I kind of go out on a limb and try to be trendy yet sublime.
How old are you?
I'm 51.
Okay.
I'm very classic in my style, so I'm not like a prince and plaid type of person.
Mm-hmm.
And I wear like you can't miss with a tunic or a sweater with a white collar and the tails hanging out and some skinny jeans or leggings.
Uh-huh.
Everything
is that what you're wearing right now?
No, right now I'm in sweatpants. because I have a cold.
Okay.
But yesterday I had a cold and I did look cute.
what were you wearing yesterday? Pretend today is yesterday.
Yesterday I was wearing my skinny jeans and I cuff them up because I'm tall. I'm about 5'10", so all my pants run short. So I just get the skinny ones and I roll them up once or twice. And these were the boyfriend jeans, so they have like just tiny little holes in them, not like what you would see on a young kid, but appropriate, just a little distressed. And then I put my slouchy socks on and my little boots with a heel. They're short booties, so about an inch of my skin shows between the sock and the pants.
Uh-huh.
And then I had a beige sweater on with a white collared shirt underneath it. The collar popped out and the tails hanging out from the bottom of the sweater. And it was just a cute look.
Chris,
and
whose judgment concerns you? Whose judgment about the way you dress? Sorry?
Oh, at this point, other people's opinions of me are none of my business at 51.
So where do you get your skinny jeans?
Oh, I get them at Nordstrom usually, but I have found pairs at Sam's Club, of all places, that are real forgiving. They have a lot of spandex in them.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my rear end is like flat like a pancake.
Mm-hmm.
That's two of you who have flat as a pancake rear ends.
Much to my husband's dismay, but I have long
legs. He's a Beyonce kind of guy?
No. He's an electrical engineer. He's just a...
No, I mean, he likes a Beyonce kind of butt.
I don't think he'd ever say that. He just likes to slap mine a little bit.
Oh, okay.
When I'm doing the dishes and, you know, there's the pancake.
There you go.
But I do get a lot of flack from my sisters because I like to look nice when I go out. I mean... I think I got that from my mother.
The slouchy socks with the boot is a look I haven't seen before. Is that a look?
It's so cute. It's not a slouchy sock. Let's say you put your ankle sock on, not like a white terry sock, but a cute patterned one that might match your sweater.
Uh-huh.
And then you just kind of push it down a little bit above the boot so it shows a little above the boot.
Do you do this before you go to the grocery store? When you go out for groceries, do you check your whole outfit? And
yeah, I'm kind of like that.
And makeup.
Makeup I don't care about.
Okay.
I just put a little eyeliner and lip gloss. But I'm kind of a grayish. Everything in my closet is a neutral. So if it's dark, I can pull anything out. Everything will go. And then I have pops of color if I wear black leggings. So
okay.
I've got it down to a system. Everything
you do.
Is.
I wish I felt so like you.
But I love it. I really have a passion for it.
Okay.
You
so
know?
Short boots, slouchy socks, roll up your jeans.
Yeah.
You know, get a bigger butt.
Yeah. White shirt,
and white shirt,
sweater.
Yeah. Tail hanging
okay,
out.
There you go. Got
okay.
that, Jude?
Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, lady.
All right, Chris, thank you.
All right.
All
bye-bye.
Right. This from somebody who's even older than we are. This is Joanne, who's 83. Hi, Joanne.
Well, I'll be 83 on Halloween.
All right. Happy birthday.
Several times, so thank you. I'm 83, and I've got short boots on today.
Uh-huh.
With what?
I have black stretch jeans on, and I don't like the skin to show of the short boots, so I always put the pants over the top of the short boot, you know.
Okay.
And I have a white sweater on, a leather jacket, and a leather purse. But I have several pairs of tall boots.
Uh-huh.
Like you said, I see a lot of them, even if they're not in fashion, I still wear mine, too. And I wear those with a real tight stretch pant, you know, because they come way up to my knees.
Do you have no butt either? Are you one of our no-butt girlfriends?
I've got a big butt.
Oh, okay. And you cannot lie.
I'm 36, 25, 38. So.
And you're 83.
Yep.
That's fantastic.
And I try to, nobody believes I'm that old, but my mom lived to be 101. But I've talked to you girls before,
wait a minute.
And I want to bring something up.
25-inch waistline is really tiny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'll bet you my thigh is 25 inches.
When I was young, it was like 19 and a half.
Oh,
like
that's
Scarlett
O'Hara, right. Exactly.
Yeah, I try to keep myself. I have diabetes too, but I keep myself quite slim, you know, and I, you know, feel like I have a good time, and I dress up, and I have a good time dressing up, you
know. Do you have a boyfriend?
But I want yeah.
Okay.
Younger than I am.
All right. But he's anyway, older than you are. Let me, Joanne, you have a boyfriend.
No, he's younger. He's younger.
Oh, he's,
than
how
I
much
am.
Younger?
I'm not going to say that.
Is okay. It 20 years?
No.
Is he in his 60s?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you're 83. He's in his 60s. I'm assuming you're doing the mattress dance.
I'm not going to say that.
Right? Oh, come on, Joanne.
Okay, well, we're just assuming it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm having fun. Let's face it. I'm not a real 83-year-old person.
You don't sound like you're 83.
No.
Right.
But anyway, the thing I wanted to bring up is a long time ago, I told you girls to try the Downy spray. Instead of ironing, I spray everything with Downy and just, you know, rub it out, and I wondered if you ever tried it.
No.
I can't even remember what it was.
I take my stuff to the laundry.
Ago. I've been listening to you guys for a long time.
Well, thank
anyway,
you for that.
So what'd you do for 4 years when we were gone? You must have gotten something fun going on.
I missed you guys, and I kept calling and asking when Kathy and Judy are coming back.
All right. Well,
listen to you every morning, you
all
know.
Right. So. Jimmy DeCastro was listening to you. Joanne? Thank you for the call, and
have fun with your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, thanks a lot.
Okay.
I'll talk to you girls again. Bye bye.
Okay, bye bye. And this is Paul with an opinion on short boots. Hello, Paul.
Hello, ladies. How are you?
I'm good. Are you a fashion designer?
No, not at all.
You're just a guy.
Oh, you have an opinion.
I do. When you mentioned short boots. I think the lady ahead of me who mentioned wearing them with pants, great idea. They look great. I've noticed more and more women wearing them with short skirts.
Or dresses.
And they look like they're wearing, yes. They look like they're wearing steel-toe work boots.
Oh, God, some of them are so cute. Some of them are just with heels. And
they have like leggings on or something, don't they?
No. No, just bare legs and a short skirt, and it just looks clunky. I want to tell them it's like maybe if you fertilize and water those boots, they'll grow up into real boots.
Paul, are you sure you're not a fashion designer?
I'm not. And most things, I'm like, I'll let it go. And I think one of you mentioned, you know, I wear my jeans in the yard, and no.
That's Kathy.
Not a fashion person. Yeah, that's me.
Okay.
So, you know. But I definitely have an opinion on those.
All right. And you're not a big fan?
No.
All right. Well, glad you were listening, Paul. Thanks.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Keep your password safe, but log out when you're done. All your so-called friends will get a line and have a little fun. Keep your password safe, but log out when you're done. Or you ain't going to chat no more.
I'm where? What is it? Keep your passwords what?
Well, he's British. I can't interpret.
Oh, he speaks a different language. Anyway, I've been wanting to talk about passwords for some time. We can all remember the first time we were asked to create a password. It was probably in 2007 or something like that. Create a password for this online account. And so you went with your initials and some four-digit number that was your address or your phone number or something like that. And then somebody else asked, and you thought, well, I'll go with this. And then after you used that about six or seven times, somebody said, oh, don't do that. Don't do that. You have to. And I remember my grandsons, Mick and Triss, had passwords that were maybe 15 characters long.
And they remembered them?
And they were like capital E62J lowercase P59. And they remembered them.
Oh, dear.
It was really quite amazing. And I'm guessing they still do that. I now have maybe 30, 40 accounts that require a password.
Oh, my God. I think I have 100.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Because shop online a lot.
Okay. And finally, there comes a point when you have to start writing them down.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's in a little book or somewhere online. And I remember a friend of mine said, well, I keep them on my desktop in a document, but I call the document prayers.
Do you know I did that when I went home after you told me
that? Oh, did
that?
You? Right.
Uh-huh.
So what hacker is going to go into a doc that says prayers,
right?
Which I thought was really sweet. And so I keep hearing about password programs. And me, cynic, paranoid cynic, why would you give all your accounts and all your passwords to somebody else? And there's always, oh, well, they're secure. Really? You know, where's the guy in Nigeria who's got all my accounts and all my passwords now? Are you out there, 312-981-7200, are you trusting password programs online that keep all of your passwords and automatically feed them in when you check into an account? I just can't believe that that's something most people are doing because it seems so crazy.
Well, I don't trust them to do anything wrong with my passwords, but I don't do that. I have my list of...
Right, so you don't use a program like that.
No, I don't.
Right.
But I do think after, you know, what we've learned in the past week and having a social security number, having my social security number taken advantage of, somebody filed their taxes...
You didn't tell me this.
Well, I have a bad eye.
What does that have to do with telling me this?
I can't see well, and so I'm sort of focused on that. I didn't
I see. Judy scratched her cornea.
I have an ulcerated cornea, yeah. Which is why Kath has been reading all our live reads today.
Yeah. And, well, 312-981-7200. One of our girlfriends.
Everything's hackable was where I was headed. I think absolutely.
I absolutely do too, except I think of Tris and Mick with their 15-digit numbers that they're all different. So one of them could say, oh, yeah, my Facebook password is, and then do the 15 digits. And then another account, my, you know, Instagram password is this. And it's totally different letters and numbers. Mine are all kind of similar. Mine are all kind of juggled back and forth. And, but I keep them on my computer.
Do you, and they say, what's your Apple password? Do you know it?
Yes, that one I know, so I must use it enough. Now, this is Patty. Hi, Patty.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. You have a password program online.
I downloaded a program onto my computer, and it's also onto my iPod.
Okay. And you're not worried that somehow having given your accounts and passwords to an anonymous someplace that you are making yourself more vulnerable.
But they don't have access to it because the program is on my computer. So I control the password. They don't have access to that program on my computer.
What do you mean? You downloaded it.
I bought the program from them. And so it's like when you download Word. Mm-hmm. They can't come in and get your documents on your computer. And I've got an encrypted password on it. And, you know, with all the techies, I work with several techies at work, and we have them on our computers at work as well. And it's an encrypted program. I've got the password. If anybody else tries to break into that, supposedly they, because it's so encrypted, they won't be able to get the data that's inside there.
But if you're shopping online at Amazon and they say sign in and you haven't, you know, made it automatic that your password is there, how do you get your password?
I open up the program. I have to put my password in. Then I type in Amazon, so it searches all the card files in there. And it's really well organized. You know, they look, you can put them under categories and stuff. Then I right-click on it, copy the password, and then I paste it into the Amazon's website.
Okay, and what's it called?
I work with eWallet at home.
Okay.
And at work, we use, I think it's called 1Password.
Okay, so I'm a hacker. Am I not going to go immediately for eWallet or 1Password once I get into your computer to find out what all your...
Well, I've got a firewall on my computer with a 30-character password,
mm-hmm.
uppercase, lowercase, punctuation. I change that quite frequently.
Oh, you're so really vigilant. You're very vigilant. Most of us don't do that.
Right. We have a techie at work who is paranoid beyond belief. So he constantly lets us know all the problems that happen out there.
Right.
So I'm trying to make sure that I follow his best practices. And that's why I don't use passwords like, you know, my name or my pet's name.
Right.
When you have,
and or
when
1234.
Right. And when you answer the security questions, I never answer them truthfully. You know, where did you get married? I'm not going to say that because, again, if a hacker ever did get into my Amazon account.
But then how can you remember? Yeah. How can you remember? Which fake place?
Everything is in that program. So this program allows you to put your password. Then it also allows you to put your security questions in there. So all I have to do is look at that when I'm logging in, and I have all the answers right there.
All right. So when you have that program and you log into Amazon, whatever, any account, you put in the name that you use to log into Amazon, and that program automatically fills in the password.
It can.
No, she has to cut and paste it.
It all depends how I want to do it. I can put Amazon's URL inside my password program, and I can click on the link, and it will fill it in automatically.
Okay.
I go to Amazon, then I open up my password protecting, my password program, and I type in there Amazon. It'll bring up the card, and I can then copy the information from there into Amazon's website.
It's a lot of steps.
It's a lot of steps. All right. Well, this is exactly what we're talking about, Patty.
But I'd rather have my security. I'd rather take the extra steps and not get hacked than,
I think we're all in that camp.
Are your finances on your computer?
Do you have
beyond banking?
What do you mean beyond banking? That's a major one.
If you have,
You mean like your investments? Oh,
right.
Okay.
Yeah, but everything's password protected.
With this program. Okay.
No, if you knew the guy that I know at work, he is so paranoid, and he tells you every single thing that can happen, and he's always sending us articles about people who have gotten hacked, and it's just, you start to think about it. And, I back up my computer onto a hard drive, and I take the hard drive to an off-site location. It's locked up someplace else. It's like I'm making sure that so if somebody comes into my house, they're not going to get my backup as well.
Okay, well, I think the people that want to get into your computer don't feel like they need to come into your house to get into your computer.
But, if anybody ever got into my house, I at least have now I have my backup of my computer and everything else someplace else so I can quickly change. I know he's paranoid. He's made all of us at work paranoid, but it's working so far.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, Patty.
That's like a lot of time.
From 847, I put all my passwords on index cards.
Yeah, and then what?
Only way someone can get all my passwords is to break into my house and find my box of index cards. Is that secret password music? I think it is. We're just talking about some people aren't paranoid at all. They just keep a list of their passwords on their desktop. And it's called password. Other people have index cards. They have them on index cards. And this is Sue. Where do you keep yours? Hey, Sue.
Good morning, girl.
Good morning, girlfriend.
I am much less high-tech than your previous caller, but I also, like your texter, do keep my passwords on index cards. However, everything is in code that only
what does that mean?
I know.
So say your number is SC4242. What's the code for that?
What, the password? But that's not the password. So, each account, my bank, I don't name the bank. The bank is next door to Jackie. Now, I know who Jackie is, and I know what bank she lives next door to.
So rather than put Johnson Bank and Trust, you put Jackie.
I put next door to Jack, or next to Jackie.
Okay.
And what's this written on?
Then for my password.
Index cards, yes.
Oh.
And then for your password.
The password code might be first dog's nickname followed by the security code from our old house, which I know.
Oh, my God.
Followed by another one of our dog's names.
Sue, how many password protected accounts do you have?
Probably 20.
Okay, so you got 20 index cards.
No. I probably have 5 index cards.
Okay.
And they're all written on there. And so when I look at it, I know when I see first dog nickname, security code, current dog, I know what that password is. But nobody else would necessarily know what that password is.
Oh, that's hilarious. And do you do it enough that you sometimes you don't even have to go back to your index cards?
Oh, no. I always have to look at the
index cards. Oh, okay.
And do you carry them in your purse?
I do carry them in my purse, which I know is risky. But really,
not with your secret code. That's not risky. Right.
One of the retail stores that I have an online account at, a friend of mine said one time, oh, I would never shop there. So the title of that account is Where Mary Wouldn't Shop.
Wow. Wow. Okay. That's hilarious.
And I know that. I know what store that means.
There you go.
On my computer at home, I do have a conversion Excel spreadsheet. So in the event I get hit by a bus, my kids can go into my laptop and pull up.
Oh, and get into your accounts. There you go.
Oh, your kids are going to be really mad.
Yeah.
First about the passwords and then you.
About the bus. Yeah. Right. Sue, thanks for the call.
Enjoy your show.
Thanks a lot.
So long.
312-981-7200. This is Mike. Hey, Mike.
Hi. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning. What do you do with your passwords?
I actually use Norton Antivirus. It also comes with a password protecting program. I've used it for years. I have never once had a worry that I would lose passwords or have a hacker gain access to it. All I have to remember is one password. That's it. It opens itself up and unlocks, and then anytime I go to a website where a password's stored, it'll automatically put it in there. And if I ever change the password, it'll automatically update the password within the Norton program.
And you're not paranoid enough or cynical enough as I to think somebody else can get at that.
Oh, I'm guaranteed someone could easily get to that. With any website, it just takes, it's a matter of time. People, hackers can get into just about any website. It's just what they choose to. Obviously, you wouldn't want to go trying to hack into a major bank. I mean, that's serious crime. But other websites out there, it's just a matter of time. There is no such thing as a 100% foolproof secure website out there.
I don't know. Sue's code system on index cards seems pretty foolproof.
Are you going to adopt that?
No, of course not. Of course not.
But I don't have to gain access to your password. If I can gain access to the website where your passwords are stored, for example, like let's say Amazon.
That's what I'm saying.
So you have to have a little bit of trust between yourself and the company that you put your passwords on. It's always good to change passwords every once in a while.
Yeah, I don't know those guys. I don't trust them.
I actually used to I was a website developer for a stint in my life, and I learned a lot about website security. And just for grins, I took my knowledge in security and went to just random small websites, blogs, things like that. And I was able to gain access to the administrator's username and password. Granted, the password itself was encrypted, but I was able to use a small script that you could Google this. It's very, very simple. And manipulate the interface on the web browser to make it look like I was the administrator. And all I had to do was refresh the web page. And I had full administration.
Yeah, see, it's guys like you that I'm scared of. You're scaring me, Mike.
I'm sorry.
We're glad you're listening, though. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome. Have a great day, lady.
Thanks. It looks like a beautiful one.
Very frenetic music. I was going to talk about the opposite of that.
What's
I was
that?
Going to talk about peace and quiet.
Mm.
When you're a young mom, your day probably feels a lot like that music just was. Very frenetic.
Chaotic.
That was the goal, wasn't it, Bob?
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. And I read an article that talked about a woman who, in order to have some peace and quiet, found herself going to the dentist more frequently than she needed
peace and quiet. Wow.
You get in that chair.
Yeah.
And you lean back. And then some dentists have like TVs above, and they give you a headset.
Okay.
So I guess she had a dentist that afforded a better situation than the situation at home.
Apparently.
And when I was a young mom, I would pay a babysitter to come to my house so I could go just to the library. And I'd go for about 3 hours once a week. And I'd begin by reading. But of course, most of the time, I think I wound up taking a little nap.
At the library?
At the Evanston Library.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's that mom again. Yeah.
Yeah, looking to dodge the kids. And I just wondered when you were a young mom, or if you are a young mom, where you go to get some sort of solace. Because didn't you ever do this,
I'm
Kathy?
Trying to
Our
remember.
Number is 312-981-7200 for your memories of this.
Boy, I'm trying to remember. I mean, obviously bathroom, because you can close the door. And then I would guess that in bathroom, there's these little voices outside the door. Mommy. I don't recall that escape thing, but I don't know. Maybe our girlfriends do.
Yeah.
312-981-7200. What's your escape? I'm guessing for most people, it's got to be in the house.
But then you hear your kids.
Like, well, I mean, saying. I think at many levels, getting a babysitter for 3 hours may be prohibitive for a
it
lot of
may,
people. Right.
But from my experience, trying to do it in the house, if the kids were still there, you know, I mean, you could take advantage of nap time, you know.
If
you,
you could get them
anywhere.
Coordinated. If you
right.
could get them to sleep at the same time. Exactly.
Right.
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 But
well,
just... You know, that little bit of solace that you needed. I mean, 3 hours went a long way.
All right. Now, this is Jan. Jan can kind of relate. Right, Jan?
Are hey, you Jan.
Are you there, Jan?
Yes.
Hi.
Where'd you go? What'd you do when you wanted solace?
I had a total recall when you mentioned the, you know what, I have to turn off the radio. I am so sorry. I should know this.
Oh, okay. Yes, you should. Right.
I am a lifelong listener and a great fan of both of you. But
Thank
Judy,
you.
When you mentioned the Evanston Library, when I was young, you know, 20s, three kids, no money to buy really beautiful books, I too, when my husband got home, when the library was open late, my husband got home, served dinner, we went, and I went to the Downers Grove Library.
Mm-hmm.
And would spend 2 or 3 hours just reading art books that we couldn't, coffee table books, Andrew Wyeth, Georgia O'Keeffe.
Oh, right. Because those are expensive books.
They were $75.
Right.
And who could afford that? So I would just, or I would also pay a babysitter and do it late afternoon. And I get it. And I think young moms today need that as well, a different form of
course. Are any of those three kids now young moms themselves?
Oh, my gosh, they are. They are. They are. Two of them.
Have you ever had that conversation with them?
No, I don't think I have.
About what they, how they escape for a little bit?
Wouldn't it be funny if they went to the library?
Yeah. I have a neighbor with four under 7 years old, and I don't I don't know what she does, but I... You know.
That's what libraries are for.
There you go. All right. Thanks,
things.
Jan.
Thank you.
Thanks for the remembrance.
Okay. And this is an interesting solution. Mary Beth, to get away from the kids, what would you do?
Go golfing with my girlfriend.
Aha.
Well, that's a long babysitter.
No, just 9 holes.
Yeah, 9 holes is like 2 hours, right? 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And what'd you do in the winter?
Cell phone.
What?
Well, this was before cell phones and my kids were little, so nobody could get a hold of us.
Oh, sure. Oh. Absolutely.
Remember that feeling?
That's an escape for sure.
Right.
So what'd you do in the winter when golf season was clearly over?
Well, when the kids were older, I took up tennis with some girlfriends. And in the winter, we would go play tennis every Sunday. And let the husbands take care of the kids because during the summer, our husbands would always play golf. So we kind of reversed the roles in the winter.
Okay. Was it the golf or the being away that was the best part?
Both.
Nice combo, right. Exactly. Thanks, Mary Beth.
You're welcome.
We'll be back to more of your calls and texts, 312-981-7200, about how you used to or how you currently escape. Hide from your kids.
There is the quiet place.
Is that the Beach Boys?
Take six.
Okay. Oh, okay. We're talking about when you were a young mom, or if you are a mom, that where you go to escape. I went to the library, an article I read. A woman just went to the dentist quite frequently. She felt it was more peaceful than in her own home with her beloved children.
All right, and we've had a lot of women calling. This is Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine. You stay-at-home dad?
Well, I my girlfriend has a young child and a couple older siblings, so.
Mm-hmm. But you're not the daddy of any of them.
Right, exactly.
Okay. So you live together?
Yes.
Okay, and
so what do you do?
What's your escape thing?
Well, The way we escape is on Friday nights. There's football games sometimes, so we'll pay the older siblings to sort of watch the younger one, and I think to bring them to the game, and then we'll go out for dinner with friends, and just for conversation, and just to get away like that. So I don't know if that qualifies for the scenario that you're presenting or whatever.
Not quite. How do you feel about short boots?
Short boots?
Uh-huh. Yeah, on women. You know, those little things that sort of end at the ankle.
A boot that ends at the ankle, that sounds more like a shoe, but I see what you're saying. It's more of a shoe. It's kind of more those long boots are kind of getting out of style a bit. Those were good, right? The tall ones
that went all the way up all the way up
and
to
now
the thigh.
The jeans aren't even in. It's all yoga pants or whatever,
right?
So yeah, a little boot maybe with a dress can be kind of cool. It's a little different than just always. The heel can get a little bit stale, I guess, every while. Just a normal, pretty shoe, I guess.
As long as we've got you on the phone, do you know somebody now dead who was a big Cubs fan?
Who's that?
No, in your life.
Do you know someone?
Somebody you know who was a big Cubs fan. No, huh?
No one's really specifically coming to mind. I mean, no.
Are you a Cubs fan?
Well, I'm from the southwest side of Chicago, so
what can you
religious.
Expect, right?
Yeah.
But I'm rooting for them. I'm looking forward to the game tonight, and I'm rooting for them in Chicago. They're still Chicago.
Good.
So I'm diehard Chicago.
The reason we're asking you this question is we're just rounding up some of the other things we were talking about on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So did you realize you had so much fashion knowledge and opinion? You had quite
a bit. Well, you know what? I do. I would love to either help women with their a makeover type thing, or I would love to design women, because I know what I like to see on a woman, and maybe at some point I will.
What do you like?
Do you like big butts?
Well, who doesn't, right? Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, many of the women we spoke to today, Brian, were lacking in that particular feature.
Right. Are you in your 30s?
Early 40s.
Okay, early 40s. See, because big butts, women used to wear girdles to disguise big butts.
Do you know what a girdle is?
Well, was that like a Spanx type thing?
Yeah, it's like industrial strength Spanx.
Yeah.
to tighten everything up. But
nasty
now,
things. They were nasty.
Yeah, but now
with the yoga pants, they just let it hang out. Yeah, I mean, Latino women, yes. Of course, there's a room with my Brazilian women in those cultures, why they're getting fake butts. You know, out there it's fake butts. Out here it's fake boobs, so.
Right. Where's out here?
Well, in America.
Okay.
If you go to Brazil or like South American type countries, it's all about the butt out there.
Right.
Butt. Now, okay, back to how you want to see a woman dress.
Okay.
In your ideal makeover, how does the woman look when you're done?
Okay, it depends on her body type, right? Like, so obviously, if she has a perfect body.
Okay, let's go with that.
Okay, the yoga pants are getting a little. There's got to be some sort of something. The yoga pants, yeah, it's great for guys because, yeah, it went skinny jeans, and then it went yoga pants. And it's great for us guys, we get to see every curve and crevice in your body. But it's like, at some point, it's a little, now that's getting a little stale. So now we got to switch it up. Are we going to go back to jeans? Are we going to, what are we going to do with this whole yoga pants situation that everyone's doing? It's athletic apparel that's very popular. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, Brian, are you helpful to your girlfriend in terms of telling her how she should wear or guiding her, as Judy says?
She's not big on yoga pants. She's still in the jean era. She's pretty innocent. You know what I'm saying? And I'm the yang. I'm from the streets of Chicago.
Okay, so you've got yourself a sweet innocent girlfriend. Do you ever say to her, "Is that what you're wearing?"
You know what? I don't do stuff like that.
Okay,
that's why you're still her boyfriend,
right?
Exactly.
Okay.
All right. Well, where are you going now?
Where are you, Brian?
Yeah.
I'm in my car. I just pulled up to the house. I'm going to stay in the car for a little bit so I can have a little privacy and just.
There you go. That's your escape.
It all came around to that.
Pretend like you're not home yet. All right, Brian, glad you were listening. Thanks.
All right, no problem. Thank
okay, you. Bye-bye. Just wrapping up our conversation about where you go to hide. And Ann was a police officer.
You want to get away from your kids.
Right. What's your great story?
Well, real quick, because I know we're at the end of the show. Used to be a police officer. I'm now retired. But on Mother's Day, I was patrolling through a local park, and I found a minivan out in the park after hours. And I pulled up on it, and it was a mom who had just been fed up. She'd had the worst Mother's Day ever. She's sitting in her minivan watching a movie, and I said, you know what? Stay as long as you want.
I love that.
She just got the hell out and watched a movie. And great story.
Exactly.
Thank you. Thanks
Thank
a
you.
Lot. Bye-bye. Kathy and Judy back. Thank you for being here. Thank you to, we like to call him Sam Schwarber, but his real name is Sam Panyatovich.
I have a question, by the way.
What's that?
So this new thing now, it started this year, Fly the W. You
yes.
know, like the W flag would
yes.
go up at Wrigley after
win.
A win.
Yeah.
I'm driving down today, and I see Fly the W all over the skyline. Is that kosher after a loss?
Well, Bob Ferguson was explaining this to us. Bob, would you like to explain this to Sam?
Well, no, I think Sam explained it to me. There was a Tribune article about how it's now commonplace.
And now it's for momentum.
And the win that'll happen tonight.
It's like their new slogan. It's branding for them. But I don't understand because all I've ever known is you fly it after they win.
Right. And Judy says if you want to do it for momentum, then turn it upside down. Which would make perfect sense. There you go.
Okay. I just wanted to see where you lined up on that.
All right. Sam, thanks, Bob Ferguson, for music, for all sorts of information, to Kristen Decker for handling all the many calls that come in, to Veronica Carter for news, and to Amy Guth for showing up again for the noon business report. Hey, Amy.
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
We are going to be talking a little bit of Halloween and a little bit of Cubs today on the Winterest Business Lunch. In particular, do you know about the turquoise pumpkins? You know what
yes,
that means?
I do.
That?
I just read about
yeah,
that.
I
and I'm going to do
one.
That at home.
I think it's really cool. If you have a turquoise painted pumpkin on your front porch, it means that you offer non-food treats because there's so many kids that have allergies of different kinds that it's really disappointing for them. And it's hard for parents who have to then confiscate all the candies and say, hey,
right.
sorry.
So you can get those necklaces, yeah. those light up necklaces and stuff like that.
I don't get a lot of trick-or-treaters, but I've given out non-candy stuff. I've given out like little boxes of crayons and little glow necklaces and funky little fangs and stuff like that. Just because you never know. So many kids are so allergic to things and oh my gosh, we're unhealthy enough. We don't need more candy.
Great idea.
Do you dress up as you give out?
Yeah, but I'm in a building, so I don't really get I don't really get any trick or treaters. But when I have in different places I've lived, I definitely do. Heck, I'm dressed up right now.
Yes, you are with your
devil's
horns.
I have devil horns on. You know, most of my costumes involve putting something on my head, which is really difficult to do while on the radio and wearing headphones. But I've got my horns and my headphones on. It's all good. So we're gonna talk about that. But we're also gonna talk about the prices of tickets to see the Cubs because some records are being broken. And I think most of us have heard something anecdotally. We've heard people being interviewed on the news and things like that of how much they just paid. I remember I think WGN-TV was talking to some people leaving Wrigley the other day. And one guy said, I just paid $4,500 for a ticket. And they said, oh, you bought two? And he goes, no, I bought six. Whoa. Are you joking?
Oh, you mean six at $4,500
apiece.
That's too much money. That's somebody that has too much. It's like cocaine. Cocaine is God's way of saying you make too much money.
Right.
Right. Sam, maybe throw a little of that in the charity pot there.
Yikes.
Yeah. So,
and as one of my friends pointed out, you can watch it for free.
Well, not everywhere, which is interesting, right?
Really?
Because
some bars
are charging crazy covers, several hundred dollars just to go in and get a table or just to go in and stand.
And it's not hyperbole to say it's once in a lifetime thing.